Life of Pi, Jan Martel. When we reached land, Mexico to be exact, I was so weak, I barely had the strength to be happy about it. We had great difficulty landing. The lifeboat nearly capsized in the surf. I streamed the sea anchors, what was left of them, full open to keep us perpendicular to the waves, and I tripped them as soon as we began riding a crest. In this way, streaming and tripping the anchors, we surfed into shore. It was dangerous. But we caught one wave at just the right point, and it carried us a great distance, past the high collapsing walls of water. I tripped the anchors a last time, and we were pushed in the rest of the way. The boat hissed to a halt against the sand. I let myself down the side. I was afraid to let go, afraid that so close to deliverance, in 2 feet of water, I would drown. I looked ahead to see how far I had to go. The glance gave me one of my last images of Richard Parker, for at that precise moment, he jumped over me. I saw his body, so immeasurably vital, stretched in the air above me, a fleeting, furred rainbow. He landed in the water, his back legs splayed, his tail high, and from there, in a few hops, he reached the beach. He went to the left, his paws gouging the wet sand, but changed his mind and spun around. He passed directly in front of me on his way to the right. He didn't look at me. He ran 100 yards or so along the shore before turning in. His gait was clumsy and uncoordinated. He fell several times. At the edge of the jungle, he stopped. I was certain he would turn my way. He would look at me. He would flatten his ears. He would growl. In some such way, he would conclude our relationship. He did nothing of the sort. He only looked fixedly into the jungle. Then, Richard Parker, companion of my torment, awful, fierce thing that kept me alive, moved forward and disappeared forever from my life. I struggled to shore and fell upon the sand. I looked about. I was truly alone, orphaned not only of my family, but now of Richard Parker, and nearly, I thought, of God. Of course I wasn't. This beach, so soft, firm, and vast, was like the cheek of God, and somewhere, two eyes were glittering with pleasure and a mouth was smiling at having me there. After some hours, a member of my own species found me. He left and returned with a group. They were 6 or 7. They came up to me with their hands covering their noses and mouths. I wondered what was wrong with them. They spoke to me in a strange tongue. They pulled the lifeboat onto the sand. They carried me away. The one piece of turtle meat I had brought from the boat, they wrenched from my hand and threw away. I wept like a child. It was not because I was overcome at having survived my ordeal, though I was, nor was it the presence of my brothers and sisters, though that too was very moving. I was weeping because Richard Parker had left me so unceremoniously. What a terrible thing it is to botch a farewell. I am a person who believes in form, in the harmony of order. Where we can, we must give things a meaningful shape. For example, I wonder, could you tell my jumbled story in exactly 100 chapters, not one more, not one less? I'll tell you, that's one thing I hate about my nickname. The way that number runs on forever. It's important in life to conclude things properly. Only then can you let go. Otherwise, you are left with words you should have said but never did, and your heart is heavy with remorse. That bungled goodbye hurts me to this day. I wish so much that I'd had one last look at him in the lifeboat, that I had provoked him a little, so that I was on his mind. I wish I had said to him then, "Yes, I know," to a tiger, but still. I wish I had said, Richard Parker, it's over. We have survived. Can you believe it? I owe you more gratitude than I can express. I couldn't have done it without you. I would like to say it formally. Richard Parker, thank you. Thank you for saving my life. And now go where you must. You have known the confined freedom of a zoo most of your life. Now you will know the free confinement of a jungle. I wish you all the best with it. Watch out for man. He is not your friend. But I hope you will remember me as a friend. I will never forget you. That is certain. You will always be with me, in my heart. What is that hiss? Ah, our boat has touched sand. So, farewell, Richard Parker, farewell. God be with you. The people who found me took me to their village, and there some women gave me a bath and scrubbed me so hard that I wondered if they realized I was naturally brown-skinned and not a very dirty white boy. I tried to explain. They nodded and smiled and kept on scrubbing me as if I were the deck of a ship. I thought they were going to skin me alive, but they gave me food, delicious food. Once I started eating, I couldn't stop. The next day, a police car came and brought me to a hospital, and there my story ends. I was overwhelmed by the generosity of those who rescued me. Poor people gave me clothes and food. Doctors and nurses cared for me as if I were a premature baby. Mexican and Canadian officials opened all doors for me, so that from the beach in Mexico to the home of my foster mother to the classrooms of the University of Toronto, there was only one long, easy corridor I had to walk down. To all these people, I would like to extend my heartfelt thanks.